of salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up a study here in Matthew chapter 10. We came to the end of the chapter, but there's something I want to focus on here just a little bit more that we pick up at verse 37. The Lord Jesus has spoken to us about how that he has not come to bring peace, but a sword, a division. If it be in a family that one would be saved, it will cause enmity and problems, most likely with the other members of the family. And would to God that he would save all in a family. And he's able, and he does many times. But sometimes there are those that are saved that their family turns their back on them. And he says about this variance that can come about because of Christ. See, the receiving of Christ and the coming of Christ, the sending of Christ by God the Father, is indeed an affront to mankind. That it's an affront to you and me naturally, because God, our God, having sent a Savior, you know what it means? It means that you and I need a Savior. And we naturally, we don't want to face up. We don't want to admit, we don't want to know that we even need a Savior. We don't even want to know and admit and see that we are guilty, guilty and wicked before God. We don't want to be told it. We don't want to know it. We just don't want to face it. And so for someone in a family to be saved and saying that they've repented of their sins, they've believed and trusted in Jesus Christ, he saved their soul, changed their life, no doubt there will be things in the family that they will turn from, things they just shouldn't be doing anymore, things that were pursued and just weren't even thought about before. It's just the way of the world. But now, no, they're now that they're Christ, they don't talk that way anymore. They don't go to those places anymore. They don't do those things anymore. And it'll cause a variance indeed. And then he begins here in verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In another account in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus says it this way, if you don't hate your father and your mother, if you don't hate your children, you're not worthy of Christ. Well, that seems kind of extreme to us. And understand, the Lord is not saying that we should indeed all in and of itself hate our parents. Why, one of the commandments itself is to obey and honor parents. The New Testament scripture says that it's honoring unto the Lord for children to obey their parents. It's good. It's right. To love a parent, to honor them, to be thankful to God for them. What the Lord Jesus is getting here with this extreme statement is indeed One that claims to be a child of God, has been saved by him, should never take a position of loving their parents, their children, their spouse more than they love the Lord. Our love for our Lord is to be preeminent always. It's to be above first place. Jesus is always above first place. That is the order. That's what we should love, as Moses preached in the book of Deuteronomy. He preached there, I believe in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, going over the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20 and other places too, but first in Exodus 20. We're to love God with everything we've got, above all. And so the Lord Jesus declares the same thing here. You got to love me more than them. Otherwise, you're not worthy of me. And if you don't take up your cross, and again, as we mentioned last time, not talking about two timbers tied together in a lowercase t. It's not talking about a physical pole or beams fastened together. It's talking about a burden. Jesus came, and our great example, he had a burden for sinners. He had a burden so for sinners that he came and did everything that needed to be done so that they might be saved. So that sinners could be saved. His people. Those who would believe in him and trust in him. He did it all. He did everything that was needed. And so must the disciple of the Lord. He must take up his cross, verse 38, and daily and follow after him. Otherwise, you and I are not worthy of him to follow Christ. You know, there's a lot of lip service, and we're all subject to do it, but there's a lot of lip service, and I'm afraid that there's folks that give a lifetime of lip service of following the Lord, but never doing so with their life. Never doing so with their life. He said, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Want to live life just for yourself? Want to take your life and hold it close to the chest and preserve it very well? You'll lose your life. You'll use it up on vain, vain things that won't much matter in the end. But you take your life and use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, use it, as he says in another place, for his sake in the Gospels. Oh, what a gaining of life that is indeed. Experienced here in this lifetime, and indeed in the life to come. He that receiveth you. He goes on here to speak about the economy of the Lord. See, we've got to get over the thinking of the world and the natural thinking of man. You take care of me, I'll take care of you. That's the way men think. Always got to gain, always got to get, always got to make a profit. That's the way men think. That's the way the world is. What is it? Quid pro quo. In kind, always in kind. But listen to what the Lord says. He that receiveth you, me receiveth, he that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So the Lord Jesus says, you as my disciples, if folks out there receive you, they're receiving me and they're receiving the Father. You know why? We're in his family. We're his children. Our Lord Jesus, in that sense, is our elder brother, and we've got a heavenly Father. A receiving. He says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Isn't that something? Somebody that receiveth one that is a proclaimer of the word of God can get a prophet's reward. Receive a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man, the name of a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. The economy of our Lord just gives. If he gave his son, the Lord declares in the scriptures to the children of God, shall he not freely give us all things? Shall he not freely give us all things? He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The kindness shown to a child of God. Even what mankind would consider to be the least of the Lord's disciples. And amongst the Lord's children, there's no respecter of persons. The Lord loves us all, and there's no competition, and He's got enough love to go around. Given a cup of water will be rewarded according to the one that is given the cup of water. He says, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. Receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, receive a righteous man's reward. Our Lord is focused upon fellowship. Fellowship visiting a relationship between us and Him. And He's also interested in a relationship amongst His children. And that's the reason, one of the benefits of the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church is that fellowship that we have. And isn't it something how some people can be a member, they say, saved by the Lord and a member of one of the Lord's churches, but never want to go? Never want to go to visit and be around their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's alarming when there would be those that would say that they're saved and a member of one of the Lord's churches and say that they don't like being around their fellow members. They're saying they don't like being around their brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Lord has an opinion about that. He has a very strong position about that. And Brother John even speaks to us about that. So you don't like your brother, you hate your brother. Maybe you need to check and see if you're saved. Strong words. But the economy of our Lord. One brother put it some years ago, in the Lord saving us, in the Lord saving us alone, and preaching a message out of the Gospels, he made this point about those that were hired for work at 6 a.m. and there was an agreement made about a penny for a day. And then that householder went to the place where the day labor was at. He went at the ninth or at 9 o'clock in the morning and at noontime and then at 3 p.m. and then even the 11th hour. And he told those first ones they agreed for a penny for a day's work. And then those latter ones, he just said, well, go work and I'll pay you what's right. And as it was, he lined up when it came pay time and he gave the ones that just worked 1 hour a penny. And then those that came in at 3 p.m. a penny. And then those that came in at noon a penny. And those that came in at 9 a penny, and then those in the morning a penny. And they quarreled with him. They said, we should have received more. And he said, you agreed. The point that the brother made in his message was, don't make deals with God. Just leave the paying up to God, because God, our Lord, in saving us, is like paying somebody $1,000 an hour to work at McDonald's. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. It was the example that he used. The Lord is abundant in His blessings and His goodness towards sinners that will repent and believe. Don't think about God's work in the way that we think about economy and on this earth. But God is liberal and He is free. He says, represent Him, be merciful, be kind, be compassionate as He is indeed. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.